Brittany. X Dina. What a girl wants, what a girl needs, whatever makes me happy sets you free. Mariah. CITR, where you'll hear none of those divas. CITR 101.9 FM, where the only divas you're likely to hear are Kathleen.
Suck my left one!
Diamanda. Lydia.
Would somebody please inform the U.S. government that my uterus is not open to public debate?
CITR 101.9 FM, your true diva station.
You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Sexy in Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners, however you've decided to spend the hour with us. We are really, really, really glad to have you. So for those of you in Vancouver, it's that beautiful sunny weather. I know I was at the pool today and had an absolutely fantastic day. There's lots of eye candy, people looking very beautiful, and it's one of those things where you walk into Starbucks, you might make eye contact with somebody, you do the eye dance, you look, and you look away, look up through your eyelashes again, look back up at them. And it feels really, 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 really good. But one of the challenges sometimes that I hear is Vancouver's a really hard place to date. And I've heard from many, many people, both men and women, sometimes it's really difficult to tell whether you're not on a date at all. And I'm really excited to have someone else for Empower Productions on the show. A couple weeks ago, we had the wonderful Bob Monroe on the show. And tonight, I'm excited because we talked a lot about some of the work that we're doing in regards to, I shouldn't say we're doing, they're doing to empower men. And now I've got an additional person on, which I'm very excited, who is one of the facilitators and has been doing the work for well over 25 years, which is fantastic. And he is calling me from San Francisco, the wonderful, the talented, the lovely Matt Lyons. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you. That was a wonderful introduction, Carolyn.
Thank you. So how did you get into this 25 years ago?
25 years ago, a man approached me about a particular men's weekend, and what he told me was that he painted this picture of the type of relationships that men had to have with each other when, throughout time, when they were accomplishing great feats together. And the what was present between men when they were undertaking these
relationships?
Yeah, the type of relationship between men when they're undertaking these huge feats where they literally had to trust each other with their lives. And that appealed to me, and I always felt that I'd been born in the wrong century anyway. And so I took this weekend and I joined a men's team, and along the way I met many, many incredible, powerful men. And one of those was Bob Monroe, and that is how, you know, to 25, 26 years later, we decided that we were going to produce our own workshop for men, and that's how the Masculine Identity and Power Workshop got created. It's also written by my co-facilitator, the other leader of the weekend. His name's Peter Thompson. He lives in Toronto. So we're really quite geographically spread out.
Very, that's impressive.
Yep.
So with your own production, how is it different from some of the work that you've done in the past? Is it kind of where you've pulled the bits and pieces because you've got a wealth of experience? I know Bob's been doing this for a long time as well.
And so did you pull the pieces that are working really, really, really well to put it together just a little bit more cleanly than some of the other product that's out there?
Yeah, and I'll try to describe it.
Thank you.
A lot of the weekends or workshops or men's seminars that I attended mm-hmm. were sort of geared towards survival. Survival in the world, survival in relationships, with these very sort of black and white, broad sweeping sort of commandments.
Wow.
That sort of smacked of kind of...
like a scare tactic? Or?
Well, yes, and yeah, designed to produce sort of a gestalt reaction, but, you know, they began with all women are, or all men are, or never do this, or always do this. And while that is, you know, that type of information is useful, you know, particularly in relationships with women, it's not really about... there's no information or little opportunity if you pursue this discipline of thriving in a relationship with a woman and getting the benefits of, you know, a woman and her unique contribution to the relationship that makes you a better man. So in terms of relationship with women, it's a little bit different in that it's not just about surviving, but about thriving in a relationship with a woman. And then in terms of you know, the masculine identity part of it,
mm-hmm.
it is not it's not one person's view or cut or doctrine on the state of masculinity. We do a lot of work in the workshop to generate from the men in the workshop, based on their life experiences, sort of the connection to conjuring up this type of relationship I described when we first started talking, that men have always had when they were accomplishing greatness. So those are just two of the parts of it. It's really a pretty broad spectrum experience.
Mm-hmm.
But the men that have, you know, done this workshop, I think they believe they're coming to get something, and they certainly do, but a lot of them are surprised at what they leave there. So I think it's just produced incredible results and really changed men's lives and their relationships, particularly their relationships with their fathers or their sons or daughters, and definitely their relationship with their significant others.
Mm-hmm. And it makes sense, because a lot of what you mentioned was a lot of the other workshops really focus on the survival tactics, which if you go to the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, your base, like that flight or fight thing going on, and if you can't get it right to the top where you're creating a space where people feel loved and respected for who they are, people don't get to self-actualization. They stay in that kind of flight or fight thing, which isn't always the most healthy thing in the world. And it's really hard to think past that and thrive, as you put it, in the relationships. I applaud you for putting something together that gets past that survival mechanism. I think that's really important. How have you found it's changed you personally? Like over the 25 years.
The pursuit of who I am, which I hope I never find out. You know, maybe on my deathbed. Maybe that's the time.
Okay.
And finding myself in other men, all other men, has really broadened the spectrum of, you know, and the reflection of who I am. But most importantly, it's really that I've found a place to contribute to men and women and children in having them live their lives powerfully and with intent.
Okay.
That's really been the gift for me, and why we're doing this. You know, we're not making... I wish I was some cult guru, some Anthony Robbins kind of guy, you know, and I'd written 25 books already.
Well, that could happen.
But the fact is, you know, we're not making any money on this, and we're doing it really for the love of it, and because we really believe it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got Gary Bizzo as your as the CEO there as well. So between him, Bob, yourself, and your other facilitator in Toronto, I think hopefully you'll be making some money off of this as well, because I believe people deserve to get paid for what they put out there, and especially when you're putting good out in the world.
Yeah, well, thank you. And again, that's, we think that's going to be a result, but it's really not the end game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just want as many men exposed to this and how powerful they are with each other and knowing their masculine identity, you know, as possible.
So what is your definition of masculine identity?
Well, I suppose the clinical definition would be the, you know, the identity that is unique from females. Of course, that's kind of an algebraic answer. It doesn't really answer it.
And what is your personal answer?
My personal answer is the core of your power mm-hmm. as a man. And I not necessarily mean power over something, but just the drive that understands you. There's something very unique in men in their, you know, 15,000 years that we've been classified as this genus, you know, of DNA that's been passed down,
mm-hmm.
And really understanding and knowing that as a part of you, accepting it as a part of you, lets you really form a more powerful identity here in the modern world than most men really know is available.
I think that sounds really amazing. Paint me a picture of one of the cases where it just felt really good, where you're like, yes, this is exactly why we do what we do.
Oh, well, I don't claim to, we don't claim to be, you know, sort of therapists or any sort of, you know, qualifications like that, but many men bring a lot of pain of past experiences, betrayal, abuse, the list goes on, and it is very painful for men and the deep, deep, deep emotions that men have, and to be able to have men rid themselves of that, that they have been carrying around almost literally their entire lives, and then the next day happens, and they walk in, you know, almost physically taller and different, and they just have like a glow about them because they are unburdened from this.
Mm-hmm.
And then we begin to construct, this is the part of the seminar we call the homecoming. We begin to, let them reconstruct themselves, sort of like as we offer tools or opportunities or ways of being that they could adopt, and they, like they're placed on a table, they could like pick a, yeah, I need that. I need one of those. I need some of that. I'm going to do, you know, pursue this.
Mm.
We do a lot of work having men define their personal purpose in life. And I think that if you asked, you know, a man, what is your purpose in life, your personal purpose in life, you know, I don't know what percentage, 95% probably couldn't tell you, and certainly not in one breath. And to have men have access to that and then go out and explore, you know, how to pursue that purpose passionately, you know, in a disciplined fashion, and what that produces in their lives, that is the work that really fulfills me. Men literally recreating themselves.
Nice. Is there a case that you can speak about that without breaking confidentiality or anything? Like about somebody who's just completely changed their life, like a really dramatic example, perhaps?
Well, yeah, without going in, I'll tell you what, this will be a composite of...
You can call him John.
Some of the participants, John, okay. Who was abused, sexually abused by his father as a little boy. And those are some deep scars. And one of the things we know about sexual predators is 80% of boys who were abused, sexually abused by their fathers, become sexual predators themselves. And so this is a really fierce emotional scar that literally defines your whole being. And this man, John, was able to go back and meet that little boy and speak to him as a man. Speaking to, you know, this 8-year-old boy mm-hmm. as the man he is today. And the work that was done in that was just incredibly transformational. And I mean for every other man in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And he had never been able, and I don't mean, like he'd been never been able to conceptualize himself as a leader.
Hmm.
He never was able to take his place with other men in any kind of hierarchy. He was just other. And after he was able to let go of that and meet that little boy and sort of like kind of guide him through all that stuff as they sort of fused back into the mature man that he is, he demonstrably became a leader right mm-hmm. before our eyes, and it was awe-inspiring. It really was.
Wow.
And not just myself and Peter, but all of the men in the room knew that they had a part in
healing,
contributing to that.
Mm.
And it just fused us into a team. It was an amazing thing. I think what's most powerful about the story is it is a composite because it's happened multiple times.
That is. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I do a lot of work when I'm not here with women in the downtown East Side who have dealt with a lot of abuse. So I can completely, that really gets to my heart. So I give you full kudos for that. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, I think it manifests slightly different in women because it instructs them as to who they are.
Hmm.
And it's one of the most painful things you have to see is that women, the way that women have to normalize that is by diminishing themselves.
Hmm.
And I suppose it's similar in a certain way for men, and I can't imagine what the female version of that is, but I see the results of that.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we're committed to as men is that we protect and defend women.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that may sound sort of misogynistic, sort of chest-beating caveman thing. It's not that women are so weak or futile that we have to defend them. It is that they're our powerful partners, and we do defend them.
Mm-hmm.
And
on that note, I was going to add that I've actually had one of my regular guests on the show, Kim Inami, who is a sex coach, and she actually encourages men to be embrace their inner caveman because, as women, we want that. It's true,
right? But there is a fine line, and maybe it's oversimplifying to just say caveman, although that is there. So maybe it is valid,
mm-hmm.
but there is a way to source the drive, the power, the passion of that in a modern, masculine, powerful context,
hmm.
you know, that for each man. And I take it back. That's not oversimplification. I think you explained it exactly right. And it's not, you know, me man, me woman, or you woman, you know, I'm in charge, you're subservient. In fact, one of the things that we say in the training is that we as MIP graduates, all us MIP graduates, we love hard-headed women.
Hmm.
Hard-headed women are the best.
I was just going to ask, what is your definition of a hard-headed woman?
Headstrong, knows herself, confident, powerful, a leader, knows how to bring, with all the subtleties of her femininity and all the power that she has as a woman also, at the same time, her powerful leadership, you know, to any situation. And in a relationship, you know, an intimate, long-term, committed relationship with a woman like that, the benefits are that, as a man, you always know where you stand with a woman like that.
Hmm.
You always know what she wants. There isn't this feminine mystery, guessed what I'm thinking. If you don't know what's wrong, I'm not going to tell you, kind of, you know, classic TV sitcom, you know, the way women are portrayed. There isn't any of that. And she knows that, you know, women are going to either relate to you as if you are selfish or generous, right? And she knows that you're generous. She knows that you want to give her what she needs. She knows that you want to make her happy, and she respects you enough to not try to take advantage of that and trust you. So even when you can't do that, she still trusts you. Mm-hmm. And we like hard-headed women because we always know where we stand. We always know what they need. We always know how to make them happy, and they're not shy about communicating their wants or needs or what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. That's a good woman to be with, and that makes you a better man, I think. What do you think?
I think it's important for a woman to be strong and be who she is. I also think in regards to that, it's important to recognize that people have different ways of exploring love. Dr. Gary Chapman's book, Five Languages of Love, is one of my all-time favorites, and I'm constantly quoting from that one. But it's important, regardless man or woman, to recognize how your partner needs to be loved. And from there, trying to show that in that way, so you can honor them in that way. It's really, really key, and sometimes it takes time to figure that out.
It does.
Yeah, although the easiest is you get them to do the quiz online. He has one on his website. And if that doesn't happen, usually the easiest thing is to have a conversation and ask them about when they've given a present that made them feel really good to give to someone and what that was. And sometimes you can get an idea of their past and different things and what meant a lot to them. It can make a huge key difference.
Yes, it can. Yes, it can.
It really can. We're going to take a really quick short break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to be chatting some more. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the UBC Westside area at
The Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books, The Bike Kitchen, The Eatery, Fresh's Best Salsa, Gargoyle's Grill, Gumdrops, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Winnie Cooper presents the Thursday Concert Series at 560. With one of the biggest video walls in North America, 560 is quickly becoming one of the nicest venues Vancouver has to offer. It currently houses four floors, each presenting you with a different musical vibe. In the coming months, the Thursday Concert Series will showcase some of the biggest local and international acts to hit town. The Thursday Concert Series at 560 Club, located at 560 Seymour Street in Vancouver, BC, presented by Winnie Cooper.
What are you doing on June 29th between noon and 7 p.m.? Well, come on down to CITR radio station for the first summer studio sessions, where nine bands will perform live from the station lounge. Bands including Sons of Granville, Tanya Aganaba, Michael Fraser, Facts, Bleeding Hearts Village, Young Moms, Corpo, and Dominic Frico. Friday, June 29th, live from the CITR Lounge. Visit CITR.ca for more information.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news, as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
All BC short filmmakers. The third annual Vancouver Short Film Festival is back and accepting entries until August 1st. Students and professionals welcome. No max time limit, but keep them short. At the last festival, 45 short films were screened. $18,000 in prizes was awarded. For more information or to enter, visit bsff.com.
Hello, this is Tony Bardock of the Pointy Sticks, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
We are back at Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us now and you missed the first 29 minutes of the show, well, you're going to have to tune in and download the podcast to hear the rest of it. I'm talking to the wonderful Matt Lyons and with Power Productions, and we're talking about male identity and about a lot of really amazing things about they've got quite a... Matt, when is the workshop? It is in September.
Yes, it's September 15th and 16th.
And that's in White Rock, and
right.
Which is fantastic. And over the, and I'm quite excited about that because I think it's so important that men have weekends as well, because I've been lucky enough to do some workshops with women leaders, for example, the Amazing Women's Weekends that Margot Donnellis does here. We also have the Conscious Divas where they have they call them the Diva Date Nights, Diva standing for Determination, Integrity, Vitality, and Aspiration.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
It's pretty empowering. And so the women have a lot. So I was really excited when I spoke to Gary Bizzo and he told me about Power Productions. And I was very excited that there's more men's work being available for men, because I think it's important. And one of the things I wanted to touch on was on the break when we had all the commercials playing, you and I had a really wonderful talk, and I'd love to share that with our listeners just in regards to about honor and just how key that is. And I was wondering if you could share that with our listeners.
Absolutely. We're talking about the... what has been passed down in the 15,000-year evolution that passed from generation to generation, that 600 or more generations of men.
Mm-hmm.
And the most powerful quality, sort of not physical quality, but almost an ethereal quality that men have developed over that time is the quality of honor.
Mm-hmm.
And this has a very visceral, powerful source that it's come from. It sounds very violent, and women may experience it very violent, but it grows out of 15,000 years, 600 generations of men killing each other.
Mm.
And I bring that up not to try to shock you or anything, but so that you can see how powerful this quality is that is present. In one of the oldest English language stories is the story of Beowulf.
Mm-hmm.
And in the story, he's in this battle, and he slices his enemy's leg almost clean off. In fact, this is where the Monty Python skit is based on, actually, this very, very old story. And his enemy's dying.
Mm.
And he sits down next to his enemy, and they're not going to fight anymore. The enemy's not going to try to kill him. He knows that he's going to die. And they have this very masculine discussion, which starts with, you know, you should have held your shield like this, you know, and then I wouldn't have been able to get to your leg. And the guy says, yeah, you're right, you know, and they talk about their lives and their pursuits and their passions and their purpose. Mm-hmm. And he sort of gently lets his enemy pass. And that kind of honor is rare among men. One of the things we said on the break is that, you know, men, now killing is more important or winning is more important than honor. And there was, for thousands of years, men would rather be honorable than win, if those were the two choices.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this very, very visceral, powerful quality that men communicate to each other almost, you know, usually without words.
Mm-hmm.
It's rare for a man to stand up and pour his heart out to another man. But there are many, many other ways in the masculine communication to convey this. But Caroline, that's not what I wanted to really talk about.
What would you like to talk about?
I would like to talk about women's most powerful ethereal quality that is a product of their femininity that has been produced in the 600 generations, their 15,000-year evolution, that they manifest, and I believe that is more powerful than the quality of honor for men. And it is something that is rarely talked about, but as soon as I say the word, it will conjure up all of the powerful, transformed, contributive women that you know. And the quality that I'm talking about is grace.
It's such a beautiful word.
Now, grace is defined as the unmerited granting of favor or mercy. And how powerful is that? That women had to possess that in order to be remotely successful. I don't like using, you know, too many sort of caveman examples from the past, but, you know, in ancient societies, the men would go off to war, and the women would stand there with their children and watch the cloud of dust go over the hill, not knowing what their fates would be. Six, 7 months later, a cloud of dust would come back up over the hill. But they didn't know whether it was their men coming back victorious or the enemy coming to take them. And if you could just imagine standing in their shoes for a minute, like the quality they would have to possess to be able to function and go on, that's part of what this quality of grace is. In the context of relationships between men and women, if there is something that men can bring to women that will connect them viscerally with this, at this DNA level, like the meant to be together level, programmed by God to be together, it is the concept of honor. And you know men who honor their women, and you know men who don't, who regard their women as, you know, a necessary burden. Can't live with them, can't live without them, right? And how far that is from what the possibility of a real, connected, intimate, powerful relationship, as in the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, that's possible. And that women can absolutely get the best out of men without manipulation, without bargaining, without, you know, using anything that would compromise their integrity, simply by bestowing their grace upon them.
So how does a woman do that in today's society?
I'm sorry, you say how does a woman do that?
Yes, how does a woman do that? How
well,
can we support
I'm sure that you have had on your show women call in with many different contexts or the way that they regard men. And even so far as to go, you know, all men are fill in the blank.
I usually won't allow that on my show because
well,
I believe...
Yeah, good. I didn't mean to imply but, that, but you know...
But off the show, yes, I do hear that sometimes, both from men and women. And I think sometimes people are disillusioned. One of the challenges, I think, is, and especially since a lot of the evolution in the workplace with... Because people used to meet in terms of relationships either through friends, through their religious organization that they're involved with, or through work. And when they changed a lot of the sexual harassment laws in Canada in particular, it was difficult because all of a sudden a lot of people stopped meeting where they worked through friends, etc. But mainly stopped working. Working longer hours and not having time to go out to meet people, but at the same time being fearful of actually meeting. And so I think as a society we've almost become too polite.
Or forced to be.
Yes, it's not authentic.
You know, let's acknowledge something before we talk about the sexual harassment in the workplace. And there's been a lot of inequity and certainly some, you know, famous horror stories. Down here in California, there was a woman who worked at Chevron who got $2.5 million because she was verbally degraded at work. And what happened is her boss came out of the office. She wasn't at her desk. And he said, "Where is my secretary?" And, of course, she wasn't a secretary. She was an administrative assistant. Because secretary, women have decided, is a degrading word. But for every one of those examples that gets brought up or maybe thrown in your face about how unfair that is, we got to remember that there didn't used to be a place for women in the workplace. They literally were discriminated against. Walking in the door, qualified as ever for a job, saying, "No, you're a woman. You can't work here." So if the pendulum swung too far the other way initially, you know, can we really blame that? And who do we blame? We blame that on women, all women? They were responsible for that? You know? So I think, you know, your original question was, how do women do that? Mm-hmm. And I think that it requires a deep knowledge of themselves and an acceptance of themselves. And in that, part of the product of that is you begin to see yourself and accept others. Mm-hmm. And if you can get as a woman to, men are the way they are because that's the way they are.
Okay. Weird question.
That's grace to me.
I like that. And I don't know if you'll be able to answer this, but I'm going to ask it anyways. How can is there anything that a woman should look for in terms of to see if a man has if he moves with integrity and honor in his life? And like certain things that they should be looking for. And I know each man is unique and individual, so there may not be an answer for that, but is there something that we can be looking for, certain key signs that a man is working with honor and he's authentic?
Well, I may not have a laundry list of things to check off, but that actually doesn't sound like a bad idea to produce that at some point.
If so, I think you'd have, that's where you guys would be making lots
of money. So here's something that's like 15 degrees off that. It's a very popular notion that you're going to like consider a serious relationship with a man, find out what his relationship with his mother is, right? Mm-hmm. That's like popular culture, big tenet of that, right? So, does he honor his mother? Is another way of looking at it. Does he honor his mother? Does he honor his father? They probably weren't perfect people, right? Parenthood is one of the things we're least qualified to do. But, you know, most of us end up doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's the subliminal thing, because I believe women subliminally seek out men who possess the quality of honor, and here's why. You tell me if you think this lives in the subconscious. If a man is willing to have the relationship with himself such that honor is a part of it, that is a huge, high-quality relationship, because in modern society, you don't have to have honor. You can just, I got to get mine, I'll lie, cheat, and steal to get it, and I just want to win, mm-hmm. and I don't care whether I'm honorable or not. But if you find a man who is willing to have that kind of quality relationship with himself, then chances are he's willing to have a high-quality relationship with you. And I think that is the attractiveness of honorable men to women.
And I'm going to ask one more question on that note.
Sure.
When someone is doing the work on themselves and they seem like they might be honorable, how can you tell whether somebody is being egotistical and actually being a true authentic, where they're actually taking care of themselves and making sure that they're the very best they can be?
That's difficult, because I think men's egos is largely misunderstood by women, because it's very different than their own. And, of course, we think that we have the one right way to do it, right? Men think that the one right way to proceed in life is my way. And women think the one right way to proceed in life is my way. Men's ego is a critical component of a man's life. Chances are, if you're a woman and you're relating to a man, 99% of the time you're relating to his ego. And some women know that, and they're very good at that. But to answer your question, if a man is self-aware,
mm-hmm.
if he's able to not take himself too seriously while still powerfully pursuing his life, he has probably dealt with the concept of honor. His regard for others, his regard for what is just and true and right, and I'm not talking about right-wing, fanatical, Fox News kind of what's just and true and right. I'm talking about a man who knows, you know, right from wrong and is willing to take action on his behalf. That's a man that possesses honor.
And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yep.
And then I was going to ask, when a man has gone through the workshop, one of the things you mentioned earlier, and I know Bob talked about it when he was on the show before, about the teams. And you'd mentioned just sometimes men can make eye contact and they know that they're going to work together on team-wise as well, which is really cool. But I like the fact that it goes past just the weekend where you're moving it past where there's that team. And I'm going to ask in terms of if you can elaborate that for our listeners who hadn't heard the other podcasts that Bob spoke of.
Yeah, I think men have a natural ability to team.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out of necessity. And really, you talk about men's egos. You know, our ego tells us that that we're lone wolves. We should do it alone. And, you know, no one can do it the way I want to do it, so I'm just going to do it. But the fact is, even lone wolves are not lone wolves when they're really hungry. And, you know, throughout history, men have had this natural ability to team. It's almost invisible, really. Now, there are teams, and I'm talking, you know, I want to make the distinction, teams that have uniforms and meetings and plans that they draw on the chalkboard, plays that they, you know, create. That's not exactly the type of teams I'm talking about.
No.
I'm talking about ad hoc teams that form instantly. Like, for instance, the left turn signal team forms instantly with men. And the man in front, if it's me, if I'm first in the left turn lane, I'm the captain. And it's behold on me. I am not going to, you know, mess this up for the cars behind me. And I'm counting the cars behind me. I'm looking at my rearview mirror, and I'm going 6, 7, 8, 9. Man, I hope we can all get through this. I'm going to do my part. And the men that are behind me are like, I hope that guy's going to do his part. So I'm not messing with the radio. I'm not messing around with my cell phone. I'm watching the light. I'm watching the other light. When it turns yellow, I'm ready. And then finally left turn signal turns, and I go. And we go up the hill, and we turn left and go up the hill, and I'm looking at the cars that are going through 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, we all made it. And then the team's dissolved. Right? So those type of teams, I mean, men are probably part of those type of teams 20 times a day.
Okay.
That's how prevalent it is. And many of them are never, ever spoken about. This would be hard to convey on the radio, but there's the table-moving team. You know, two men are moving a table. One's walking backwards. One's walking forwards. And they got to tip it to get it through the door, and men just make a little head bob to the right. And that doesn't mean ask me if I want to turn the table that way.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean, you know, what do you think? That means I am turning the table this way. And the other man goes, okay. And it's done. The table goes through the door, and then the team's dissolved. Then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
So something even that simple, in one of the examples that came up in the workshop was the parking pass team. And this was something new to me. I never knew about this culture, but evidently when you're pulling out of a parking garage or structure, there's time left on your ticket, and you can hand it to the people who are coming in. Are you aware of this at all?
I used to do that when I drove, actually.
Yeah, right. And men are proud as heck to participate in that kind of team. Any way that they can make an individual contribution to a common goal, men seek that out. They want to be a part of that, and of course they all want to be part of the winning team also. So this is another one of the things that we explore, masculine identity and power.
I think that's fantastic. I'm going to bug you when we get back from the break about teams of men and women in regards to how they take what they've learned to be a better man and bring it back into their relationship. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And I've got one more thing. Would you be able to plug the website so while people are listening that they can go and check out what you do?
Are you talking to me?
I am.
And we're off the air. Okay, you're very, very slick. Your segues are kind of amazing. Yes, I'd be happy to do that. And that time I did talk too much.
Oops. No, actually, I've still got you on the air. And we are, and I'm so sorry, I didn't make that as smooth as I could have. With that, let's just plug the website really quickly.
Maybe I overestimated you. I apologize. To register for Masculine Identity and Power, the website is powerproductionscorp.com. And the weekend or the workshop is September 15th and 16th in White Rock. It's $500. It's worth every penny. Men have said they would have paid $5,000 for this workshop.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool. And now we are going to take a short break. You're listening to Sexy and Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Here we go.
The Rio Theater is your independent East Vancouver theater, playing first-run feature films, independent film screenings, as well as live events. Every Friday night, there are featured midnight cult classics on the big screen, and no one can beat The Rio for their cheap date Tuesdays.
This month at The Rio, see great movies like Suicide Club on July 6th, the premiere screening of Hip Hop, eh? The Canadian Hip Hop Documentary on July 8th at 7:30, The Fifth Element on the 13th, the Vancouver premiere of Hicks on Sticks on July 12th at 7 and 10 p.m., Bones Brigade, an autobiography, on the 15th at 7 and 9:30. Burlesque Assassins, on the 18th. And on the 19th, it's a Batman marathon. Starting at 6, see Batman Begins and The Dark Knight back-to-back in the lead-up to the midnight screening of The Dark Knight Rises. And if you're looking for something a little different, special events at the Rio this month include Justin Towns Earl, live with special guest Tristan on July 4th. Pipe This, a burlesque benefit on July 7th at 8:30, Girls Rock Camp on July 14th at noon, and Scott Nolan and Friends live on the 17th at 9:30.
For more information on all this and more, check out theriotheater.ca.
Anybody else want to negotiate?
Where did he learn to negotiate like that?
The final showcase for this year's session of Girls Rock Camp takes place Saturday, July 14th at the Rio Theatre at 2:30 p.m.
1, 2, 3, 4!
It will feature 8 bands of 8 to 18-year-old girls that were formed less than a week earlier. They'll perform the original songs they wrote during camp. Girls Rock Camp is a social profit organisation that works to build self-esteem in female youth through music creation and performance. Tickets are $10 at Audiopile, Red Cat Records, or at the door. This could be the funnest, cutest, and weirdest show you'll see all year.
Thank you!
Thank you!
Thank you!
Be Scandalous. Join us in an evening of spectacle and dance in Vancouver's finest company with Electro Swing's Retro Electro Night. Hosted at one of Vancouver's newest venues, Boulevard 22, you'll experience a night of lavish performers, including the infamous Sweet Soul Burlesque, and live jazz by the emerging Hotfoot 5. Bring your alter egos to the door. Feathers, fedoras, fringe, and all. Tickets are available at Red Cat and High Life Records for $15, $12 if you dress in Gatsby-esque glamour. Check out facebook.com/electroswing.vancouver for more details.
Anta Cecilia Point, Talit Sinat Platform Musqueam. My name is Cecilia Point. I'm a member of the Musqueam First Nation. The Musqueam Nation is holding vigil at the corner of Southwest Marine and Hudson, and we're protecting our ancestral burial grounds, which have been approved for development. So if you'd like to come down and join us, we will be here 24 hours a day until we receive justice. You can bring food or coffee or bring flowers for our ancestors. If you'd like to donate food, call 604-649-5556. And otherwise, just come down and spend some time with us and hold up a sign and show your support. We'd really appreciate it. Thank you. Haichka.
And we're back at Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, I am talking to the wonderful Matt Lyons, who's calling from San Francisco, which I think is fantastic. And we are talking about the upcoming workshop in September the 15th and 16th, which Power Productions is putting on. And it's about male identity and just empowerment, and I think it's really key. So right before the break, Matt and I were just chatting about basically connecting both men and women. And just so after the workshop, one of the things I was mentioning on the break to Matt was the fact that I thought it was fantastic that men have teams. And he explained to me that teams, it's not like it's basically about being authentic. And I wanted to say to you, Matt, that I think that hit the nail on the button. I think sometimes men who take courses on dating, and sometimes we've got some good people who teach that stuff, but a lot of times people expect that when they go to, you know, a workshop in terms of male identity, okay, I'm going to be great at dating. And I think the reason that might be a result of becoming authentic with yourself, because I think sometimes when men go on dates, and this is a general statement, that some men think that they just need to be nice, and sometimes that nice is not actually who they are. And I don't mean that they're a bad person, but they're a human person. It's not like, you know, the etiquette role thing going on. And I think by the work that you're doing, it makes men be authentic and get them to be the very best man that they can be. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Well, yes, it is, and I think again, it's the difference between tricking you into liking me, tricking you into dating me, tricking you into sleeping with me.
So it's not like The Game by Neil Strauss.
I haven't read that. I have to tell you, that kind of stuff actually kind of offends me. What it is a natural expression of your authentic self. Mm-hmm. Which is going to attract a woman who's attracted to that. Now, why wouldn't you lead with, this is who I really am, rather than, you know, I don't know, the classic dating scenario where, you know, women all just have a salad and, you know, I eat like a bird and, you know, and the man, you know, is all ridiculously not himself because I want you to like me, right? Rather than going, this is who I am, and I'm not talking about, you know, showing up in cutoffs and a T-shirt for a date and mm-hmm. beating your chest and going, this is who I am. There's certainly one of the things that we spend a great deal of time on is the concept of chivalry.
See, I love that. I think that I love the idea of knights, like knight in shining armor and all that stuff. I mean, call me old-fashioned, call me romantic, but I think it's beautiful. And I think that everybody should be chivalrous and kind and courteous to everyone. And I love the fact that that's one of the values in the program.
Well, one of the things that's produced in the workshop, which is triple top secret, so I can't tell you what it is what we call the code of chivalry.
And, of course, I'm so curious now.
Well, you have to do the workshop in order to find out what that is.
I don't know if I'd pass for a man.
You know, in terms of relationships with women, whether it's dating or whatever, mm-hmm. is, you know, the men who are responsible for themselves, men who honor the connection between, you know, their woman and themselves, and men who are willing to give their best, and men or women who are willing to let women, or this is how I would say it, men are willing to help her help you. In other words, give you what you need to win with what you want to do for me, right? And men who will celebrate the efforts that she makes that are going to make you a better man.
Can you give me an example of that?
Well, it's kind of a fine line. It's the pink shirt example. So your wife comes home and she says, I bought you this shirt, new dress shirt. It's nice. It's your size. And it's pink. And you go, okay. So there's a couple ways to handle that. One is you wave your hand and go, I don't wear pink shirts. Now, this is assuming you don't want to wear, you know, pink shirts, right? There's nothing wrong with pink shirts. But you just go, I don't wear pink shirts. Well, she has put in the effort to, you know, what she thinks in a way that'll make you a better man. And he bought you a nice shirt. it happens to not be the right color. So one of the things that we talk about is rather than dismissing that, trying to train her to not buy you pink shirts, is acknowledging her efforts and acknowledging what she does for you, maybe everything she does for you. And, you know, I love the shirt. It's the right size. I'm not going to wear it because it's pink. But this is only after I've acknowledged everything that you've done for me. So that's just a very sort of simplified example. But then again, it's a men's seminar, so we do a lot of simplified examples.
No, I think that's awesome. And let's plug the website one last time.
Sure. Masculine Power and Identity Workshop is September 15th and 16th in White Rock. To register, go to powerproductionscorp.com. The cost is $500, and I'd just like to tell you the purpose of it. The purpose of Masculine Power and Identity is to lead you to discover and connect with your true masculine identity, to create yourself as a confident, honorable, respected, and powerful masculine presence in all of your relationships and in the world. You'll powerfully experience and redefine your purpose, your masculine identity, and your freedom, and establish your place in the ageless legacy of masculinity.
Wow. So, okay, if this workshop was coming up earlier, I'd ask what's next for you. But I'm going to ask you that anyway. What's next for you after this?
After this workshop?
Yeah.
Working with the graduates.
Okay.
The men, almost all the men, choose to form teams after this.
Mm-hmm.
For many men, this is the first time they've ever really done something like this. They think it's going to be, you know, support groupie, or, you know, we're going to have to hug, or, they have all sorts of fears about it. But really, it's really a team. Men win and lose together. They take ownership of other men's success, and they're a part of that. And there's a great gift in contributing to another man that way that many men don't really know.
Well, you gave a really wonderful example at the beginning of the show about the composite of our character, John, who had experienced sexual abuse from his father, and just how through helping him heal through the work, the other men, it was really wonderful for being a part of a team and being able to contribute to helping him with his journey healing, which I really liked that a lot. I thought that was really beautiful.
Yeah, and in addition, these teams are a place where you can take your anger and your frustration.
So you don't take it home.
Or your sadness or your grief or your rage or your fear or your doubt and leave it. Because, you know, one of the things I started off saying is many men come to this workshop to get something. But what may be more powerful is what they leave behind. They leave on the floor. And they walk out as better versions of themselves, unencumbered by this crap that they've been dragging around for years.
Wow. So it's like freedom.
Yes. Wow. Freedom is a big part of it.
Wow. Matt, thank you so much for being on the show.
It's been my pleasure, Caroline, and you're a great host, and I hope we get to do this again.
Thank you. I hope so, too. Well, hopefully when we get you in town in September.
Yeah. Oh, that would be wonderful.
That'd be great. Up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a great night, everyone. Bye-bye.